Gingy Freeman needed goat milk for her babies, but did not want to pay the $32 per gallon that goat milk cost, and so raised a miniature goat, for which the city of Visalia, California, will fine her $1,000 a day. And so today we pause to ask, should city folks be allowed to raise a goat or chickens?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 1030th edition of the Food Chain Radio program right here on the GCN Radio Network. Or, hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Sasebo who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, wherever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Jason Struby on the boards. Hello, Jason.
Pleasure as always.
Jason, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Do you think your neighbor should be allowed to raise a goat or some chickens?
I don't know. That sounds pretty noisy.
That sounds pretty noisy, huh? Well, it is. It may not be if it's a hen instead of a rooster. There's a difference. You know that, Jason?
Oh, yeah. What is that difference?
One cockle-doodle-doos and the other one doesn't.
I see.
Okay, folks, I guess that really is the question here. Some animals are more suited to others, and that's what we're working with. Gingy Freeman did not know who reported her to the authorities. Maybe it was a grumpy neighbor or the utility repairman on the power pole. But someone did, and so Gingy got the letter from the city of Visalia threatening $1,000 per day fine and the confiscation of the family friend and milk provider, that goat. But rather than giving in and turning in the goat and driving up to Fresno for the $32 per gallon organic goat milk, Gingy formed the Urban Farmers for Food Freedom and went to war to win the right to raise her miniature milking goat. But the Visalia City Council fought back with a 3-2 no vote against city residents raising chickens or goats. And so Gingy Freeman and friends came back with a petition campaign to allow the raising of miniature goats and chickens in residential neighborhoods. This fight for the right to raise food animals in the city limits leads us to ask you, should city folks be able to raise miniature goats or chickens? Well, here to help us fight out an answer, we have Gingy Freeman herself, who is the founder and chair of Urban Farmers for Food Freedom. Gingy, welcome to the Food Chain.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on.
Pleasure. There. Somehow bumped the wrong button there and sent myself to China. Well, Gingy, Urban Farmers for Food Freedom, what the heck is that?
Well, it's a political action committee that I formed with a lot of supporters and a lot of help here in Visalia, California. The heart of our matter is it's not just about being pet lovers and it's not just being about property rights and personal liberties. And it is about all of that. But ultimately, it's about food freedom. We firmly, firmly believe that families, parents, ultimately should have the right to provide the best nutrition possible for their families on their own private properties. I mean, that's one of the fundamental basics that our founding fathers had set out for us, you know, in the very, very beginning origins of America. And this isn't a radical idea. It's really not. It's a return to basic human rights. It's a return to, you know, taking back and trying to occupy our own backyards, basically. Mm-hmm.
Well,
and this is really important to me because, you know, for me personally, I was born with a congenital abnormality. And,
okay, before we get there, let me kind of fill in a little bit of details. You have a bunch of people who are working with you on the team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have an organization of neighbors and friends who are working at this. And what exactly is your strategy for food freedom?
What we would like to see is citizens standing up for their rights and basically taking our rights back. We were really, really hoping that we would be able to do this hand in hand and in partnership with the city council and with the city officials. But despite overwhelming support for the legalization of small food producing animals on private property, the city just pet doesn't really want much to do with us. They're not being very helpful in finding a solution that everyone could be happy with, working together.
So your basic strategy then for seeking food freedom is to organize people to stand up and demand their rights.
It's basically to give the decision-making powers, to give the vote directly to the citizens, directly to the people.
Okay.
We're doing that through our ballot initiative. We get enough signatures that will go on the 2016, the next election, and it can be voted upon.
Okay, so you're going to pass around an initiative. And what else are you doing to rouse the community, as it were?
We're getting very, very involved with, right now we've been doing classroom visits to the Tulare County school districts. All over Tulare County. We've been going to Farmersville, Dinuba, Visalia, Tulare, Exeter. We're bringing baby goats and chickens, and we're talking about urban farming and, the importance of being self, raising sustainable communities, taking care of our environment, and the importance of self-sustainability and people being able to take care of themselves.
Well, Gingy, who exactly does not want you to have food freedom? I mean,
that's a really, really tricky question, because a lot of people, the biggest response we get is generally a very misinformed one. It's people who have never been around a chicken or a goat, and they are generally very threatened by the idea. The other thing that I have noticed that's a little disturbing to me, I had not anticipated this at all, is kind of almost a class warfare mentality that, civilized people don't live among chickens and goats. That's something, we're beyond that. So there's a couple different mindsets, but that's why I think it's so, so very important that we are getting involved in the community and, heading to classrooms and, talking to children and families and dispelling a lot of the myths surrounding, the urban farming.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was certainly, will be a lot of myth around it, because city people, by and large, have not been around a lot of farm animals, and so would really have no way of knowing. All they have to do is rely on what they've been told by others. Gingy, we always ask
how many people.
Go ahead.
I was amazing to see how many people see the miniature goat and don't believe us that they're actually miniature. They're like, that's not a goat. That's a baby goat. That's not a full-size goat. And we've had children, I'm talking children in the upper elementary school ages, like fifth, sixth, seventh grade, that pet a goat, get so excited and say, I've never petted a goat before in my life. I mean, we live in the heart of the breadbasket of California. We live right in the agricultural community, and it just astounds me that we live in so much agricultural bounty, and the children in our community have no idea what a miniature goat looks like. I've never held a baby chick. I've never, petted a goat. It boggles my brain.
Well, okay. So before we move on, we always like to ask our guests who pays the way. So who pays the way for the Urban Farmers and Food Freedom Group?
This is really a grassroots venture. No one that is involved, none of us are career politicians. We're all concerned mothers, and a lot of us go out and have babies strapped to our chest.
Okay.
While going out.
So you're not getting any grants from like the Monsanto Corporation to conduct this?
Oh,
no.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
We started on that. Or rather, we should get started on that.
Okay. So let's start from the beginning then. Gingy Freeman, you have a need for goat's milk. And not just any goat's milk. You're looking for organic goat's milk. Where did you find it?
Well, like I was saying earlier, I was born with a birth deformity. I had my breast tissue removed during reconstructive surgery, so I'm physically unable to produce breast milk. And, when I first had my two daughters, with my first daughter, I was trying to find a good alternative, because I mean, as I'm sure a lot of you know, GMO seeds and crops have been linked to hormone disruption, gut damage, other problems, especially with children with their immature developing digestive systems. I mean, you could set up a baby for a lifetime of chronic health problems. And the fact is, in America, over 90% of infant formulas sold by mostly like Abbott Laboratories and Similac and Johnson and Infamil and Nestle especially, they all use powdered formulas that are just loaded with GMO corn and soy byproducts and tons of processed sugars. And, I mean, these are the same companies that spent big bucks fighting California's GMO labeling initiatives, which would require that infant formulas contain warnings about GMO.
Okay, I'm going to have to take a quick break. But when we come back, I'd like to ask you about Hain's Celestial's Earth Best organic baby formula and the suit against them for mislabeling it as organic. And your need to find the real deal, organic goat's milk for your babies. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson, right back.
Get this. You can earn a 5-, 6-, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city.
You can be old or young.
Rich or poor.
Married or single.
You can own land outright.
Or lease it year to year.
You can grow small fruits on prairie bench lands.
Houseplants in coastal valleys.
Flowers on steep wooded hillsides.
Vegetables in the city green belts.
And ornamentals in neighborhoods of fancy homes.
Get all the help you need to get growing at MetroFarm.com.
Get the complete guide to growing high-value specialty crops for the city at MetroFarm.com.
Get experts to look at your land and assess which crops to grow at MetroFarm.com.
Get advice on how to plan and develop your project at MetroFarm.com.
And get news about the business of farming for the city.
Yes, you can earn a 5-, 6-, or even a 7-figure income by farming high-value specialty crops on a small parcel of land in or near the city.
Grow for the money today at MetroFarm.com. That's MetroFarm.com.
Well, you know, I suppose if one needed organic goat's milk for the babies and it cost $32 a gallon, it would be a significant inducement to find a different way of getting the organic goat milk. And one way would just be to get a miniature goat and go to town. And I guess that's what Gingy Freeman did in Visalia, California, trying to save a few dollars and provide the family with some entertainment to boot. And the city of Visalia said, no, you cannot have those miniature goats in town. And so Gingy set up the Urban Farmers for Food Freedom. And by golly, this is not just about organic goat milk. This is about the ability to feed ourselves. Is that the issue that you see out there, folks? 831-479-1080 is the phone number today. You can join us if you so desire. We have Gingy Freeman on the line. Gingy, that's an awful thing to go up against City Hall. They tell you never go up against City Hall, but you're doing it.
Yeah, I am learning the hard way. I thought this would be a walk in the park. I heard so many inspiring stories of areas like San Diego, Long Beach, Seattle, honestly and open-mindedly assessing the situation and saying, you know, by golly, these goats, aren't louder than dogs. They're quieter than dogs. They're cleaner. They pose no serious threats of disease. They don't transfer zoonotic diseases as much as cats and dogs do. Why not? You know, let people, you know, have a miniature goat, have a chicken.
So it's
also a very expensive venture. I had no idea what kind of financial curveballs and roadblocks the city could throw up. And if it weren't for people donating, we are actually aggressively trying to fundraise right now. It is a bigger task at hand than we had imagined. And if we're going to see through to the finish line, we can't do it without, the generous donations of people who want to join us in this fight.
And it seems like quite a fight. You know, why not just go with an organic baby formula?
There are some out there. The problem is a lot of organic formulas are, still will have trade secrets. So they don't fully disclose what's in the formulas. In addition, we've seen time and time again, you mentioned earlier with Earth's Best and the class action lawsuit brought against them. You know, organic is just becoming a buzzword. There are too many corporations that, are like Johnson & Johnson, has come out with having things like formaldehyde in their baby body wash, bath wash. You really can't trust the, you know, other corporations with your child's health. Honestly, it's a cheaper method, which it absolutely is a cheaper method to get out and milk the goats. And by the way, the World Health Organization actually recommends that goat milk is the next best option in lieu of human breast milk, the most similar, compositionally to human breast milk.
So
I think it really comes down to, a mother's choice. If I choose to give raw organic, and I know it's organic because I know who's milling the grain from my goats.
Sure.
I have a personal relationship with the farmer, and I know, I'm feeding them.
You're right there. So,
that is the right of a parent.
To find that organic milk for your daughters, you had to either drive to Fresno, which meant that the milk that you were buying it was costing you somewhere in the neighborhood of $32 a pound. The other alternative was the organic formula like Hain's Celestial Group's Earth's Best Organic Baby Formula, which is being taken to court in a class action lawsuit for deceptive labeling. By falsely labeling their baby formula as organic. And so you really, if you're really being true to what you want to do, then you're kind of stuck with finding your own source of milk, and that's what you did with the miniature goats. Tell us now, I had an occasion once when I was a kid to somebody foisted their goat on me for an afternoon, and I didn't know what to do with it, so I took it to my mother's house. It parked in the backyard, went into to make a quick bathroom call. And by the time I came back out, all of my mother's roses were gone, which meant I had to camp out in a cave for like 6 months. But, the goats can be pretty like a plague of locusts.
Yeah, what's funny is I'd had goats growing up as a teenager. That's why I didn't just blindly jump into the goat owning venture. I'd had some experience with them before. With my goats that I got them adults already. They were already milkers for a dear friend of mine who breeds them. And my goats were the pickiest eaters ever. I don't know if it was just my goats. Or I've talked to a couple of people who said they had the same experience with their miniature goats. I would intentionally plant like stinging nettle and other plants that were good for their milk production, and those people would not eat them. I have full trees and bushes and things in their pen. Didn't touch them. Didn't want them at all. But I do understand. I do know, like, I've had goats before. They do can jump down and swarm down on things. So it is important to, plan ahead, fire off plants that you don't want. It comes down to animal husbandry. I mean, same as owning a dog or a cat. There are special considerations to take into account.
So tell us about the miniature goats, because they're significantly different than the normal-sized goats that eat tin cans and rose bushes and stuff.
Well, miniature goats are, they really only grow about 16 to 22 inches at the wither, so they're very small. They are, I'm talking like knee height. If you go to improgoat.com, it's improgoat.com, improgoat, you can see pictures of, full-size miniature goats. That's African pygmies and Nigerian dwarfs. And there's actually a picture on the website of my 18-month-old daughter. She's 18 months at the time when this all started. And, there's a full-grown goat that, my milker goat, who's had babies before, standing next to her. And the goat is shorter than my 18-month-old daughter. And that's a full-grown goat.
Oh.
They're very small. They only weigh between 35 to 60 pounds. And they really don't need much space. They're herd animals. And they are far, far quieter than dogs. I always hear people say, well, don't they scream? Like that one commercial. And they are actually physically incapable of reaching the decibel level of a large breed dog. So at their noisiest, at their loudest, I mean, them in abject terror is still quieter than a large breed dog barking in the middle of the night. So, there's a lot of misinformation going on around them. They make wonderful pets, and they make great neighbors. Every single neighbor that shares a fence with me loved my goats and has been, joining me in this fight trying to get them back.
Well, we in considering the show and developing the social media for it, we went and searched the web for pieces on miniature goats, and we found some really interesting video. These critters look like fun. Are they that fun?
They are. They really are.
They bounce around like I don't know what, little Mexican jumping beans, I guess, just jumping around over the place. And they're curious, and they're kind of like a cross between a kitten and a puppy.
Yeah, they make great companions, wonderful companions. In fact, it breaks my heart because my she's 2 now, but when this started, she's 18 months old. She will still see, like, the milking pail or the leash and will follow like a goat and point outside. She misses her pet so bad. But my 2 milkers, they are kind of old farts. They were like the lazy lap dog variety of miniature goats. I got them already when they were about 3 or 4 years old, and they were just kind of like, they follow you around like a dog, mostly just wanted to be petted and kissed. But I actually did breed because I was having my 2nd daughter, and I didn't want, a goat will stay in milk generally for as long as you're milking them. You can keep them in milk sometimes for up to a couple of years. But I didn't want to risk my goat drying up when I needed infant formula for my 2nd daughter. So I bred my goat, Heidi, again. And I was not prepared for this level of cuteness that came from her babies. They were only a couple hours old, and they were already jumping on rocks and just trying out their legs. And, I mean, they just are the bouncy, cutest, you know, personable little things.
Well, you know, that's just it. They're so incredibly cute and playful. You just have hard time understanding why there's a law against them. And yet there is a law against them, especially in the city of Visalia, California. And that's what we're going to talk about when we come back. Why is the city of Visalia so frightened of these little miniature goats that it's willing to charge poor Gingy Freeman $1,000 a day fine for having those goats? Doesn't make much sense, but maybe we'll find some sense in it. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with Gingy Freeman, Urban Farmers for Food Freedom. That's your food freedom as well. Right back. Gingy Freeman needed great goat milk for her babies, but did not want to pay the $32 per gallon that milk costs, and so raised a miniature goat for which the city of Visalia were going to fine her $1,000 a day. And so today we pause to ask, should city people like you and I be allowed to raise goat, chickens, what have you, in the backyard? That's the question. What do you think? 831-479-1080. Gingy Visalia? It's a beautiful farm community. It would seem like it would have that. I don't know. It seemed like it would be welcoming of an occasional farm animal or so.
Well, that's what's interesting is that the citizens, the people are welcoming. A lot of people already, I am amazed at how many people are shocked and say, I thought chickens were already legal. I have chickens. You know, we have a lot of, it is a beautiful community, and we are right in the heart of the breadbasket of California, and we have a very strong, I'm actually one of the managers, assistant managers of our farmers market. We have a certified farmers market in Visalia, and we've got a strong community of people who support local farmers and small-scale farming and organic farming. I mean, like truly organic and eco-friendly farm methods. And, but, you know, so we have that strong backbone that can really pave the way in supporting some freedoms. And we've got a strong, you know, raw milk community. We have, you know, Organic Pastures is very active, and they're based right out of Fresno. They come to all of our farmers markets. So,
and yet you have a city council who says no.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why we started this in ballot initiative is because when they said no, we pulled the Freedom of Information Act on their emails because the reasoning for why they said no was, well, the emails we're getting, even though so many people swarmed City Hall, they had to move it to the convention center because people were in support of legalizing miniature goats and chickens. And so we found it hard to believe that with what we were seeing, with the response that we were seeing, that the majority of people emailing in were saying no. So we pulled their emails through Freedom of Information Act and found that close to 90% of people who emailed them were saying, just legalize the chickens, just legalize the miniature goats. And for me, like, I can't abide bullies. That's what usually gets me fired up. And I thought, you know, this is wrong. Instead of sitting down and saying, well, you know, mommy and daddy government said no. You know, this is a government supposed to be run by the people. Our city is supposed to be run by the citizens, and you know, and our elected officials are supposed to be listening to their constituents and voting them values.
So back up for just a second. You said 90% people are supportive of you.
Yeah, we pulled each individual email. One city council member was as low as 84% of people saying they want it, and then another was 89%. So of the email we pulled of the city council members and city planners, it was, averaging of the high 80s, close to 90% of people emailing in saying, legalize the miniature goats. Let this woman have her goats back to feed her children.
And so still they're saying no. Let's go to the phones. Folks, you're invited to participate today. Pick up your phone. Join us. We're at 831-479-1080. And we have Pete on the line. Pete, what do you think?
Well, I tell you what, I'm listening to your lady guest, and everything she says makes a lot of sense. But I want to ask you, what would be the reason why somebody would be against this? Why would they be against it? What would be your opinion?
Well, that's a good question. The only reason I can think is that they might eat up everybody's rose bushes, which is what happened to me. Gingy, why aren't people against having a miniature goat?
So, like I said earlier, generally misinformation. They think that they're larger. They think that a lot of people say, oh, they just smell. And the truth is, a dog smells when it gets wet. Goat doesn't smell. Dog's, waste, fecal matter smells. Goats, it actually has a nice earthy smell that can go directly into your garden and compost. When you actually put them on a side-by-side chart, if aliens were to come down to Earth and say, we're going to have, which pet would be more acceptable? This one with really sharp teeth that can get aggressive and gets really large and needs lots of room to run, or this one that's small and clean and actually produces food for a family? if you put it in that perspective, take a step back from the misinformation and take a step back from kind of the cultural norms that, we've got this idea now of what's normal and what's acceptable in civilized society,
So, Pete, what do you think? What do you think?
Well, it's kind of funny. I've been listening to the beginning of your show, and I am one of those lineman guys that climbs up on the pole during the day and all night.
Now, you see all kinds of interesting things, don't you?
So I work all night, and I go home a lot of times noon the next day, and I'll try and get some sleep. And guess what? My neighbor has anywhere between 6 to 8 chickens, and I live in Santa Cruz City.
Mm-hmm.
And there are regulations that say how close they can be to front doors and dwellings, and they're not enforced at all. And each day, every day, one thing you can count on in our neighborhood is those chickens with no rooster are going to be laying eggs at different times. They're not real, they don't do it rhythmically. They do it different times, and they're loud. And you can hear them across the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reason I think most people are against it is they're a nuisance. I don't know about goats. I haven't lived next to goats, but I do know chickens, and they are a nuisance. They bring rats. They bring different animals into the neighborhood, raccoons, and they are loud. And being somebody that's easy, I can close my door. I know noise pollution, but you know what? I have rights on my property, too, living right next door to somebody, and I have no benefit to having these chickens there at all. So I just like to say that there is a reason why people are against this, and it's because there's a place for people that want to have space to have animals and stuff, and it's called the county. We just move out to the county, get a little bigger piece of property, and do whatever you want. Grow chicken, tomatoes, whatever you can do. But in the city, it's tight living quarters, and everybody has rights. So mm-hmm. That's all I like to say. It does affect other people.
Well, there you go. Now, Pete, what do you do about those airplanes flying over the middle of the day?
Those things, I tell you what, they wake me up, and it's very disturbing. I tell you, I've lived here my whole life, and I've never, ever heard anything like this before.
So you have airplanes, and you have chickens to keep you company and keep you awake in the middle of the day.
Yeah, and, the airplanes are sporadic. They're not every day. The chickens are every day, 24/7.
If I can interject, actually a squawk of a chicken laying an egg is, this has been scientifically measured, it's only 70 decibels, whereas a dog's barking can register at 100 decibels. So if we want to be consistent, if a chicken that's actually producing food for a family on their private property is a nuisance, then by all reason and logic, we should also be getting rid of dogs. We should be limiting you know, other animals that are perfectly acceptable and normal and don't actually constitute a food or protection for families. You've got a breed that's not a guard dog.
If a dog's a nuisance, I wholeheartedly agree that it should be removed. But let me tell you this, being a person that goes in backyards and up poles and all kinds of different situations in yards where people don't take care of their pets and animals, we go to extreme to take care of people's animals like we would our own. We would never call in on an animal unless an animal threatened or attacked one of us. So that first statement you made is, unless you know that to be true, I find that to be exactly opposite, because we deal with animals every day.
Well, Pete, thank you so much for the call. Much appreciative. I wonder if you've ever had the opportunity to hang around New York City anytime and try to get sleep there. Oh, my goodness. It's a continuous racket with sirens, horns honking, people yelling and screaming, and they don't sleep in New York City. Phone numbers today, 831-479-1080. And we're talking about bringing animals into the city, raising them for milk and eggs and things like that. Right back. Well, my neighbor had some chickens, and by golly, I actually enjoyed the sound of their clucking about the backyard there. They were kind of a contented little clucking going on. Of course, there was no rooster to really make things obnoxious. It was just a few hens in the backyard. And so I didn't mind that in the least bit. And, you know, I would suspect I wouldn't mind Gingy Freeman's miniature goats either, because I know Gingy Freeman is taking good care of those goats. But what about those people who neglect the animals that they do have? And, you know, if the city were to allow them, everybody to raise animals, wouldn't that cause a big problem, Gingy?
Well, all we have to do is look at, how other cities that have legalized miniature goats and chickens and what their problems are. And before I ever addressed city council, I actually personally called most major cities on the West Coast that allow miniature goats, especially the ones that have recently changed their laws, like Seattle and San Diego. And I personally talked to the code enforcement and animal control and asked what their problems were. And I was actually amazed to find, because I expected to, I didn't expect there to be a problem. However, you know, they are animals, and whenever you will have, you know, whenever you have any group of a large number of people living together, there will be irresponsible people in the group. And simply because some people are irresponsible, it's not a reason to strip the rights and freedoms of others. You know, my neighbor might be irresponsible, therefore I can't be trusted with my own property and my own rights. That's not how America, thankfully, that's not how America runs. So I was curious to see what issues there would be, what problems there would be. And I was amazed to find that there were no complaints and no problems. The closest I found to a problem was that Seattle, a lot of people like to walk their miniature goats in the same way that you would walk a dog. And a couple neighbors had complained that goats were grazing on their raised flower beds in their front yard, because that's trending right now in Seattle. And so they had to add a code saying that goats, when walked, cannot nibble on their neighbor's veggies. And that's the closest that there's come to a problem. So, you know, it all comes down to, you know, in much the same way that we have code enforcement. We have pre-existing ordinances against, you know, for trespass.
And San Diego's done a really good job of putting together a program. Let's go to the phones right now and talk with Eric, who has a small dairy operation. Eric, welcome to the food chain.
You know, really enjoying the show. And we have we live out in SoCal, just a mile or so up into the hill. So we have an agricultural
So you're on the urban fringe then, right? For those people
Pretty much. So we have a small dairy. We have chickens and ducks and raised pigs, so we're pretty fortunate that way. But when it comes to the milk, my wife was unable to produce her own breast milk, so she researched all of the corporate-funded and produced, different Similacs and different formulas, and none of them were going to be fed to our children. So she went for what emulates female breast milk the most and closest, and that was goat milk, and researched the formula, and our kids could not be healthier. The point that I want to make is that the corporate-funded milk is in the formula is the reason that they don't want people to produce their own product is because that if the word got out, you know, they would be impacted financially. And it always comes to the bottom line with these corporations that if it's going to hurt them, they're going to fight it to the death. And with anything, with organics or with producing your own food, we're at a real struggle with community-sourced agriculture and products. So, I'm a fan of what your guest is doing. And I would suggest that if you don't like chickens or light noises in the backyards, that earplugs are a great solution.
Okay, thank you very much for the call, Eric. Really appreciate it. Huh.
Sure.
That's an interesting one then. Let's see. Let's draw. There we go. And now let's try pick up Rich. Rich, welcome to the Food Chain Radio program. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, there is an ordinance about having especially roosters in town. If you have a certain density where you're living, you can't have a rooster.
Right, because roosters make the noise. Cock-a-doodle-doo. And they do it at dawn, and they wake up everybody, and you can't have roosters. Yeah.
3:50 in the morning. And,
there you go.
There, and they wake up.
Let me ask you, Rich, what do you think about what previous caller suggested, that it has something to do with the corporate interests and the big money interests, and when they see something that threatens them, they fight it?
Well, yeah, I could see that. I mean, that happens.
What about you? Gingy, is that something that rings true to you?
Yeah, I have noticed that a lot of the angrier, it's amazing how emotional this subject gets people. The angrier people I've encountered who take it kind of as a personal affront that I would want to feed my child with a harmless pet on my private property are usually, and I don't want to, stereotype here, but I have noticed that they're usually owners of some of these dairies and some of these ranches. We're surrounded. And I mean surrounded. There's a lot of jokes about, you hit the Central Valley when you smell, cow, what, because
right.
We are surrounded by dairies. There's a lot of really, really big corporations and a lot of big, dairies that are here in the Central Valley, and they do have a monopoly. There's a reason why raw organic goat milk is upwards of $40 a gallon, and it's regulated to heck here in California.
And there you are.
It really is seen by a threat.
So when we come back from this last break, I'm going to ask you how are you going to fight and make it possible for yourself and others to raise miniature goats, to have your own milk in a world where money runs the show. Right back. Welcome back, folks. This is the Food Chain Radio program. Michael Olson, and I think we just went and lost our guest, but sometimes that happens when the world of cell phones these days, they just come and they go. And the reason I wanted to really pick up the show with Gingy is the notion of food freedom and the difference between those of us who live in this country and those of us who live in the town. And if you look in history, you'll see that there were those regimes, those governments, that really exploited the difference. I'm thinking most specifically of Red China and Mao Zedong, and how the government of Red China built a wall, an actual wall of laws between the country and the city, and separated those two populations. And if you could... There we go. We got her back, I guess. Are you there, Gingy?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good. Well, I'm just following a quick line of thought here with respect to food freedom. And in Red China, what the government did is that it forbade country people from interacting with the city. And if you were a country person and you went to town, they threw you in jail. It was that simple. And so the government forced those in the country to grow what the government wanted them to grow and paid them what they wanted them to pay them. And then the people in the city were forced to buy their food from the government. And I don't see that happening here, but I worry about that prospect by which those in control gain so much control of our food that they can affect that kind of control over our lives. And of course, it always leads to some really terrible situations. And in China, it led to the death of 75 million people, or give or take. And so I always look for those who are standing up for whatever kind of freedom we can grab onto and hold onto. And one of them is Gingy Freeman, who's fighting for the right to grow a miniature goat so she can have milk for her babies. How are you going to win that fight, Gingy?
Well, like I said, when I first got into this, I had no idea what I was biting off on, but I'm in it for the fight, and we are hitting a lot of roadblocks. It's a little discouraging. We had filed our initiative. We're starting to circulate our petition, and just recently this came to light that there is, as I said, none of us are career politicians. We have formatting errors with our petition, so we have to withdraw it and refile it. And so it's a lot of, that translates to a lot of time, a lot of money that the government is, city government is making us file, and, also the time and expenses that come with circulating the petition. And, quite frankly, we don't have the money right now to see this through, for refiling. And we are, like I said, in the process of, partnering with a lot of local businesses, fundraising. We have a GoFundMe account that started,
It's a real fight, isn't it, Gingy?
Yeah, I actually had no idea. A lot of people were joking with me, saying, "Okay, you're circulating a petition. Get ready for democracy. Your democracy for sale." And I had no idea what they were talking about, and I just didn't realize it really is. It translates to a full-time job to go to door to door to register voters, knock on doors, talk.
So, Gingy, how can we get in touch with you if we want to?
That's our website, improgoat.com. That's improgoat, not I-am, I-M, I'm.
I'm out of time, Gingy Freeman, but thank you for joining us today, and thank you all for tuning in The Food Chain. More next week. Do stay tuned.
Been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.